because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I love this show. Is it okay if I say that? I love this show. In fact, if I wasn't doing this show, I'd tune into it. I love it. I love this show. And I love the controversy that it brings. And I got someplace I want to go today. Bear with me. I got about 12 places I want to go today. But I want to ask a question before I really get into it. I have right now, I'm sorry, you guys don't think I'm making this up, but just so you know what I struggle with here, I have 1,792 emails that I haven't looked at. I'm not trying to sound important. I get a lot of emails. I try to read as many of them as I can. And I got a lot of emails off of John Diamond yesterday and what we've been talking about the last few days in regards to, dare I say it, the kingdom of God, dare I say it? It doesn't fit the paradigm of a lot of Christians. And they're on the verge of calling me a heretic and heresy and all that stuff. Well, we do that. We love to fight. So before I get into all that, let me ask a question. I want to do about 5 minutes of this, okay? 5 minutes. Let me make this very, very clear. This is not a church. This is not a movement. This is not an organization. This is not a denomination. This is not a reformation. This is a podcast. All right? All right? Are you with me? This is a podcast. This is all this is. It's all it is. And I want to know why, as I look up here, there are 43 people that are in here right now. There are going to be more that are joining. There's people that are watching all across the world and all across America. Without taking too much time, I want to take about 5 minutes. I want somebody to come in for all the naysayers and tell me, why do you tune in here every morning? Somebody go.
This is an open Bible study is the way I look at it. Where we,
good,
can
Rich.
We can all express our opinions.
Next guy.
I'm free to express my opinions and people are like-minded.
Next person.
There are fewer closed minds here than anywhere else I know.
Amen. Next person.
Sometimes it's the gathering of the saints and fellowshipping, and sometimes it's the clashing of swords to sharpen one another.
Amen. Next guy.
Iron sharpens iron.
That the church won't talk about.
Amen, Stephanie. Boy, Stephanie, if I got something to share with you, I hope I get to today. It's going to blow the doors off. Go ahead, Jeff.
We love one another.
We love one another. Lonely Hearts Club Band. Somebody else. Come on. Why do you tune in here every day? Because you want to follow me? You want to be part of this cult? Is that what it is? Because I'm leading some type of spiritual reformation. Is that it? I get so sick of it. Somebody else. Why you watch? Fellowship. Thanks, Kevin.
Truth.
Alternative media.
It helps me to prepare my day, Coach.
Say it again.
It helps me to get ready for the day. And
amen.
Being around like-minded individuals, it gives me strength and, just helps me to prepare to go through the world.
Amen. I'm going to say this because nobody else will. Some of those secret guys out there, I know this. Can I say it? Yeah, I can say it. Some of you tune in because it helps you prepare your sermons. Oh, I said it. I said it. Why? Because you come to the realization, you listen to John Diamond, and you get a different perspective on the gospel than you'd ever had.
Now,
and you said, You said, you know what? I think I can apply that to what I've been teaching in my church. Go ahead, Dale.
Thank you, because that's exactly truthful. Why shouldn't I? Don't I glean from what Paul said and use it in my teaching? And coach, not only that, you broke me out of, and you know me, I'm all in. You broke me out of just being the pastor up there speaking. Man, I get people, my church is growing, but one of the key things that people really enjoy is the allowing everybody to interact in the church service, amen. Man, and amen. They love it.
Amen, Dale. And Christians out there, is it okay to disagree with your pastor? Is that okay? Or when some yep. type of monolithic, top-down dictatorship called a church, are you allowed to disagree with your pastor's theology? Are you? We should be, because I'm going to tell you something. A lot of them are wrong. A lot of them are wrong, boys and girls. A lot of them are wrong. And I'm going to defend myself, and I'm going to say this. I don't care what your theology is. I don't care what you believe. It is welcome here. You throw it on the table, we'll chop it up, we'll chew on it, and some of you will swallow it, and some of you will spit it out, and that's fine. That's fine by me. But the idea that, well, I feel good this morning. Somebody just texted. My phone's on the fritz. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Good. I got a lot of stuff I got to cover today. Hey, John Diamond, I see you're in here this morning. I want you to know something. You blew up my email yesterday.
Is that good or bad?
What's good? Because awesome, I've been talking about the kingdom, right? I've been talking about the kingdom. And when you brought some stuff yesterday that just absolutely was unbelievable. And if I wasn't careful, I'd have you on every day to talk about the kingdom. But I want to keep it fresh. I want people to ruminate in it like a stew, and then come back in Monday and talk about it again and again and again, so that we can really, really get this. What the Bible say, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, right? So that your faith becomes your faith. And you know it, and you can stand on it, and you can defend it, and your perspective might change, and that's okay. Because Scripture says the silly women were ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I just want to know the truth. That's all I want to do, and I want to walk it out. Go ahead, John. I see you trying to say something there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just getting ready to do, like I said, these video series. That way people can just digest this at their own pace. So I enjoy the back and forth. So I don't consider you interrupting, because that's what this forum yeah. is. I've got a video series that I'm going to be putting out. We have to understand what I talked about yesterday was essentially the Great Commission. And we don't understand. We think the Great Commission is just preaching salvation. It's not. It's preaching the gospel of the king and then going into the world, telling everybody to obey Christ. That's what it is. So we're only preaching maybe half of the gospel, and we're definitely not doing part two, which is going to city council, going to our government, and telling everybody they need to obey Christ because he is the highest authority. So.
Amen. Amen. And John, we can't make him obey Christ, but the idea folks, listen. This kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. If I get one more email about that, my hat's going to blow off. It's a spiritual kingdom. But it's the kingdom of God is within you, Scripture says, right? Jesus said it's expedient that I go away, because if I go away, I'm going to send another one, and he that was with you will be in you. So the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit, is within us. It is not a fleshly, worldly thing. However, we are supposed to bring, pardon me, everything under the obedience of Christ. Does anybody disagree with that? I mean, I can't exactly quote where that is. To bring all things under the obedience of Christ. Am I misquoting that? Am I missing something? Hang on a second now. Are we to bring government under the obedience of Christ? Are we to bring education under the obedience of Christ? Are we to bring science under the obedience of Christ? Are we to bring family under the obedience? What is it we're not supposed to bring under the obedience of Christ? Go ahead, Alan.
Coach, the days of being a quiet Christian are over. So keep doing what you're doing, Coach.
Because they're forcing our hand, aren't they, Alan? They are forcing our hand. The Amen. Devil is coming to church. In fact, he's already there. He's already there. And if we don't wake up and we don't begin to push back against this establishment, that sounds like a bad. The traditions of men, that are still ruling our churches. Some of them, by the way, good. There's such a thing as good traditions. Not all tradition is bad. Not all of it is. But we have to be very, very careful of religious traditions, and we don't even know what they're based on. We have no understanding of them. Now, I want to go ahead. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, Coach, one thing we have to be aware of as we walk down this path is that, yes, we're supposed to bring the secular world and everything into the knowledge of what Christ wants and what God wants and what steps he's given us to get there from his word. But we're not to force them to do it. Christ never forced anybody to join his little club. In fact, when somebody wanted to join his little club, Jesus usually tried to dissuade him by telling them how hard it was going to be.
So, Larry, that's why they love to see, folks, for those who I said this in the pre-show, maybe some of you didn't get it. I'm being accused now of being part of the new apostolic reformation. It's called the NAR. And I didn't even know what the NAR was till a couple months ago. Began to study up on it and find out what the NAR was, and that the NAR, National Apostolic Reformation, is persona non grata in much of Christianity. And so now they're saying, Coach Dave, you're part of the, what is it? NAR. You're part of NAR, aren't you, Dave? What? So I looked up NAR today. No, I ain't part of NAR. I'm not. But dominionism, kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom is biblical, my friend. I'm sorry, it's biblical. It's biblical. I want to do something with you here right now. I don't know if you have a piece of paper, pencil close to you. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. But if you did, this would you can do the exercise in your head. Because we did this at the Bible study of Bob and Tammy Evans on Saturday morning. This is kind of how I started the Bible study that we led. I'm going to do a test right now. I'm going to turn to Jeff now because I can see his face right now. Hey, Jeff, now, what's your heritage? What's your lineage, Jeff? What are you? Are you German? What are you?
I'm Italian and Anglo-Saxon, England.
Okay. Okay. What are you, John Diamond?
German and England primarily.
What are you, Larry? Didn't hear you, bud. You're muted, Larry.
Yeah, English and Scottish.
What are you, Mike Heath? You and Larry are brothers? I got that all explained out. That makes a lot of sense. What are you, Jeff Klein? What are you, Jeff? Jeff's asleep. What are you, Zypher? What are you, Alan? What are you?
Italian and German.
Italian and German. Okay, now let me ask you a question. Because a lot of us, when they ask us what our genealogy is, that's probably the answer. You just gave the answer most people would give. They'd ask me, they'd say, what are you, Dobbenmeyer? What are you? Say, well, I'm German. Okay, I'm German. Okay, cool. Let me ask you a question here. How far, if you had to right now, could you go back personally in your genealogy? Now, I use this example. I personally knew my great-great-grandfather, who died when he was 96 years old. I was in the room. I was 7 years old when he died. And we were down to Grandma. She called us in. I watched him take his last breath in 1959 in the home where he was. And other than that, that's as far back as I go in my genealogy. Now, my Grandpa George, who died in 1959, was born in 1863 in the midst of the Civil War. All right. Now, I want to know, does anybody know anybody, have personal contact with anybody in your lineage farther back than me? Personally knew them. Anybody?
Well, I knew my great grandmother, and I knew her. I remember having interaction with her when I was 7 years old, and that was the year she died.
Larry, did you know her mother?
No, I did. I knew about them, but I don't know them. No.
Did you know her father?
No.
Huh? You didn't? John Donne, how far would you go back, John? Who's back in your lineage? Who's one that you know?
How far back do I know? Basically, my grandparents. I didn't even know my great-grandparents.
Didn't even know them, right?
No, I mean, they were alive when I was a little boy, you know, but they died when I was 3 or 4, so I don't
okay,
have...
Okay, so let me make a point here. So my great-grandfather, who was born in 1863 in the midst of the Civil War, folks, that's 250 years ago. That ain't nothing. How far back does your lineage go? And what do you really know about who and what you are? What do you really know? Jeff Nell told me he was, what did you say you were, Jeff?
Anglo-Saxon and Italian.
How do you know?
My sister did one of those genealogy tests.
And how far did that go back, I wonder? Huh? And what does it mean to be, what did you say, Anglo-Saxon? What does that mean? What the heck does that even mean? So, Coach, stop a minute. Does anybody know where I'm heading? Anybody have any idea where I'm going? Here's where I'm going. We have no idea of our history. We don't have any idea of it. We don't have any idea of your great, by the way, you had a great, 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 great grandfather, maybe who lived in 1700. I mean, I don't know when he lived, but you had him. And you had a great, 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 great grandmother who you never met, who also lived probably in 1700. And in fact, she had a great, great grandmother who maybe lived in the 1500s. So when the truth comes out of it, we really don't. You keep going back, you're going to run into Noah. All of us are going to run into Noah. Now, people like to say Adam. I don't know if that's true or not. I suppose it is true to a point. But the flood wiped out a whole bunch of folks, didn't it? And then we get into the whole genealogy of the Nephilim and the mixing of the DNA and the perfect seed and the perfect sacrifice, yada, 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 yada. And as I sit here today, hey, Mike, do this for me real quick. Pull up. Here's what I is, Mike. Click on... the second one, Melungeons, is what I am, I think. But see, I'm not even a Melungeon. He said, Coach, you're a what? I'm a Melungeon. Well, how do I know that? Well, through somewhat of my genealogy. However, I'm a mystery. I'm a Melungeon on my grandma's side. I don't know if my grandpa was a Melungeon. My grandfather, my great grandfather, came from Germany. So his son couldn't have been a Melungeon, but my grandma came out of the hills of Appalachia. She was a Melungeon. Say, what's a Melungeon? Well, there they are right there on your screen. They're a mix of people come. They didn't know whether they're from Portugal. They didn't know whether they were, you could read down through this. They didn't know whether they were Native Americans. They didn't know whether they were black. They didn't know what. They didn't know what Melungeons were. Today, I don't know what a Melungeon is, other than I know my grandma was one. But if I tried to follow my family tree, then I would get what Jeff got, Anglo-Saxon. It would just kind of mix us all together. Say, Coach, what are you saying? I'm trying to help you to understand that genealogy, skin color, DNA. Folks, nobody, there ain't no pure bloodlines left, boys and girls. There ain't no pure bloodlines left. Now, they may try to tell us that the royal family is. And if you remember, I got in trouble a few months ago when I talked about Prince Harry marrying, who'd he marry? That woman who was, what was her name?
Markle.
Royal family over Markle or whatever it was. And I made the statement, well, they probably didn't want her around because she messed up the perfect bloodline. And so people say, well, that's racist. No, it's not racist. It's the fact that it would be a mixing. If the royal family is a pure bloodline, which I doubt that it is. How would you ever know? But if it was a pure bloodline, she's about to mess it up. And they called me a racist for stating what was just the obvious. Are y'all with me? Anybody want to say anything about, because Do you have any idea? Do you have any idea what's in you? You know, the Bible says that the sins of the Father, what happens to the sins of the Father, Dr. Diamond? What happens to the sins of the Father?
They pass down the genealogical line to the children, 3 and 4 generations down.
Wow, really? 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 So this whole idea of race and black and white and Melungeon and Jew and Gentile and Greek, and what did Jesus say? Can somebody tell me what did Jesus say about that? Or was it Paul? Paul said. What did Paul say about that?
Hey, Coach, it's Clay.
What did he say, Clay? What did Paul say about it, Clay?
Well, I just wanted to give you a little note about the genealogy thing you were hitting on. I haven't been able to verify it myself, but my father he got on genealogy.com, started tracing back my last name, Parker. And you know, I'm from Alabama, moved to Tennessee, so I didn't know where in the world we came from. But genealogy.com actually contacted my father, and they said, and they let him know that most people don't get as far back in the genealogy as he did. He got it back to, I think it was around 600 AD. And anyway, it took us from the United States over to Europe. And then when it got back as far as he got it back, it showed that we were from Afghanistan. So I just want to throw that out there. So that's, I would have never thought that I was from Afghanistan. I can tell you that.
Okay. So listen, and listen, that's, oh my goodness. See, the mixing of the blood, intermarriages, changes everything, doesn't it? Say, Coach, where are you going? I'm going to the fact that Paul said there is no longer a pure bloodline. That's what Paul said. No Jew, no Greek, right? Right? Somebody with me? Isn't that what he said? Isn't that what he said? Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Huh? No Jew, no Greek. None of that. None of that stuff. Why did he say that? Because it has all been mixed. Come on in, Randy.
Coach, you're going down a really good. I see where you're going, and you're what Paul was trying to tell him is it doesn't matter. The bloodline doesn't. It's a spiritual thing now. It's spiritual. The kingdom. You're not in here because of any natural blood or any kind of special breeding. Or any genealogy, you're in here because you were born again. You're in a new kingdom.
Amen. Amen, Randy. Yet we still tend to focus on genealogical issues when they ain't got nothing to do with nothing. And I believe the Lord mixed them up on purpose. Mike, go to my Facebook page. I got to show you something I saw this morning. It just made me chuckle. Some of you know Pastor James David Manning. Some of you don't know. He was the guy who was... He was a pastor in Harlem who, by the way, I considered Pastor Manning a friend of mine. Has to be on my homepage, Mike. Is this my homepage? They're right there, Mike. I love Pastor Manning. I've done some ministry with him. And I want you to listen to the first 5 minutes of this. This is Pastor James David Manning in Outlaw, he calls it. Harlem, New York. I've been at his church, spoken at his church, consider him a friend. I ought to try to get him back on, here. But I want you to listen to what he talks about black. Just listen. Because listen, they're teaching us Christians to be more loyal to our race than we are to the Lord, right? Now, I want you to listen to Pastor Manning. He's about 5 minutes of this, Mike. I want you to listen to him bust out LeBron James. Go ahead. We can't hear it, Mike.
Over the weekend regarding the hypocritical mind of the black man. He really is in deep trouble. He doesn't understand himself. Black athletes, for instance, when you look at people like this LeBron James guy, right? And you look at all the boycotts that are going on now. They're refusing to play some games as a result of Jacob Blake. They're going to be very sorry they took that stance because they don't know who Jacob Blake is, but the George Floyd event. But these athletes that are now raising their clenched fists and talking about Black Lives Matter, the truth of the matter is that they don't live around Black people. They don't live in Black neighborhoods. The moment they get enough money, the first thing they do is that they move out of the hood, and they go to not Hollywood, but they go to the whitest, richest neighborhood that their money can buy. They buy the whitest neighborhood. They buy the whitest schools for their children that their money can buy. And yet they want to talk about Black Lives Matter when they take the potential professional, if you will, trust out of the Black community by living white. They live white. They try to talk Black, but they live white. You know, the lawyers, the doctors, the athletes, the wealthy people, if they stayed within the Black community and supported the Black community, bought Black, lived Black, you know, built the Black community rather than building white community. I mean, I've never seen anything as hypocritical as this. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, it is, you don't see white basketball players, you know, that can play basketball. You don't see them moving to Black neighborhoods. You know, it is the Black man, he is in deep trouble. He's got a sausage brain cognitive tension problem. All these folk live in these wealthy, wealthy white neighborhoods, and then they want to try to talk about the Black man and what ought to be happening. I mean, America, white Americans ought to be screaming from the top of their voices, y'all are nothing more than a bunch of pimps. You don't even want to live in your own neighborhood because you know how dangerous it is. You don't want to live around George Floyd. I'm telling you right now, I bet my seat in heaven that LeBron James don't want to live next to George Floyd, Trayvon Martin, Jacob Blake, or none of the rest of them. And not even Rashonda, but one of the girls is down there in Louisiana and Kentucky. LeBron James don't want to live next door to her. LeBron James don't want to live next door to George Floyd. I guarantee you, he ain't gonna let he. And if George Floyd moved to his neighborhood, he would move. There's a serious schizophrenic going on in the Black community. Like I've never seen anything as demented as the Black man's mind running around here. Talking about police treatment, and he does even worse. He does. In Portland, Oregon, on Saturday, there was a shooting of a 16-year-old gunned down in the park, Black youth by other Black youth. You don't know about it. You hear nothing about it. You ain't heard a thing about it. You haven't heard a thing about it. And LeBron James has not said anything about it. You have got to absolutely, there is no way you can give any credit to any Black man. You can't, Black people, Black leaders, you can't give them any credit whatsoever when they can just pay no attention to a 16-year-old shot down in a park in Portland, Oregon, and they say not a word. But when Jacob Blake gets shot by the police, all of a sudden the world had to stop. Basketball games had to stop. Football games had to stop. I mean, you got, and again, always, every time you see this idiot, LeBron James, or any of them, Michael Jordan, any of them, they don't want to live around their own kind. They don't. They don't want to. Let me say something to you. The Spike Lee, right? Spike Lee.
You can stop there.
Folks, this was raised up in a house that is.
This is posted on my Facebook page. I suggest you go back and listen to it because it is a barrel load of truth like you've never heard. And why is it? Because even in Christian circles, we are focusing on skin color, theology, all this stuff. When Paul himself said, no Jew, no Greek, stop it. Stop it. And yet, even in our churches, we build along traditional. You ask somebody, I remember several times, actually, but I remember one in particular asking, well, what religion are you? He didn't say Catholic. He said, I was born Methodist. See, we have the mindset, don't we? The culture has done an unbelievable job of inculcating us into this natural world and then tell us what? That we're not supposed to impact it at all. We're spiritual. We're just passing through. I thought it was interesting that none of those rich black guys live in the black community. Somebody come on in.
Yeah, Coach, you know, Obama's pastor, that sucker lives in a big white neighborhood, 10,000 square foot home.
It's comical, isn't it? It really is comical. And that what Dr. Manning got continues to go on and say, he said if LeBron James really cared, he'd build a mansion in Harlem. He would be an example for all the black kids in Harlem. He would be living right next door to Spike Lee and living right next door to Michael Jordan. They'd have these great big mansions right in the middle of the black community showing young black kids how to live. But instead, as soon as they get a chance, they flee to the white hood. He said they are blacks who live like whites. He said it, not me. I thought, boy. He's on to something. Anybody got a response on that? I'm going to move on to something else unless you do. I think we got to open our eyes, folks. We've got to open. Divide and conquer is the oldest trick in the book. The oldest trick in the book. The brainwashing that's going on in regards to that. Yeah, come on in.
Hey, I talked about it a little bit yesterday. I'm working on a video series called Two Genealogies. And this is what we have to understand is that the genealogies are totally spiritual. So if you go back to Genesis, where he talked to Satan, he said, I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. Almost every commentary that you hear just talks about Christ coming back and defeating Satan. That genealogy can be followed from Cain and Abel all the way through to Revelation. Remember, Jesus told them, they said, hey, we're of Abraham's seed. And he's like, yeah, right. That physical genealogy means nothing. It's the spirit. And then he went on to call them the children of the devil. So you can actually follow the two seeds from Genesis all the way through Revelation.
John, you mean there's a spiritual genealogy more than a physical one? And I'm wondering how many of you guys listening to me right now have ever investigated your spiritual genealogy. What was your grandpa's theology? What was your grandpa's Christian walk? The sins of the father are passed down to the second, the third. It's in the blood, boys and girls. There's something about the blood, right? This is deep, man. Is Trump in here? This would be right up his, not President Trump. There's something here, isn't it? There's something here. And we still don't get it. We still don't understand that it's the seed of the serpent, the seed of the serpent, and the seed of the woman. Spiritual genealogy, sins of the father. I'd like to ask LeBron James this. He's from Ohio. I've met him. I could show you a picture, by the way. You know what I'd like to ask LeBron James? Hey, LeBron, what role did your daddy have in your life? I think that would give us a great window into LeBron James. You all agree with that? Or how many of you sitting here right now today? Oh, Lord, did I go there? Yeah, I'll go there. How many of you right now today still struggle over the relationship you had with your dad? How many of you do? The sins of the spiritual genealogy that we are all dealing with and don't even realize we are. I'll open it up. Somebody come on in.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
If the sins are in the blood, or if the blood is part of the issue and it's DNA, then why are we allowing the pharmacia to alter our DNA?
Oh, geez. Jack, I'm on page 3 and you're on page 15. Great question, though, right? Great question, right?
Something to it.
There's something to it. Why is it the devil wants to monkey so much with the DNA? Why is it? Why is it when we talk about these vaccinations, why? You don't see really very many Christian, I could be wrong, but I don't think you see very many Christians meddling in vaccinations. They may take them, but no, the ghouls are out there doing that, aren't they? Huh? Spiritual DNA, spiritual lineage. Go ahead, Jack. Go ahead, whoever.
Interesting that you should use the the adjective of monkey around, as in the rhesus monkeys that from Africa that they used for the HIV epidemic? That monkey.
So, friends, is it possible? Here's how this whole thing came to me. I was at Bob Evans' house this weekend. I hope Bob's listening. He'll listen to it at some point today. And, folks, if you were to go spend 5 hours at Bob Evans' house, Bob and Tammy's, you know, Bob said he told me he built a log cabin. No, he didn't. He built a lodge. You can't believe it, right? He repairs auto bodies. He repairs auto engines. He can fix anything. I can't fix anything. He can fix everything. You know what I realized? I asked him, I said, Bob, where'd you learn to do all that? You know, Bob just kind of smiled and shrugged. He says, I just always could. Is that a spiritual inheritance? Is that a spiritual inheritance that he got from his father? Why was my entire Christian, no, I'm sorry. Why was my entire childhood upbringing around sports? Why did my dad coach my little league team? Why were all of us involved in little league as a family and travel and do travel ball and all? Why did we do that? Why are they doing it today? Well, could it be because there was, what did they call it? You had a bent towards that? You had a bent? And how many of you fathers find yourselves being like your dad? I can't fix anything. My dad couldn't fix anything, but I can block a six-man front or an eight-man front in football. Why? Because I had a bend towards that. Somewhere within my genealogy was this ability to figure out how to score touchdowns. I don't know where it came from. I just could look at it and could just do it. And Bob Evans can just look at that thing and say, well, here, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. And Jared Heath can look at a computer and say, you got to do this, and you got to do this. And folks, is some of this DNA related? If we get the sins of our fathers, do we also get the giftings of our fathers? And do we recognize those and understand those and walk in the giftings that God's given to us? I don't know, man. I'm just rambling. But this thing mesmerizes me.
Hey, Coach.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, we get faith from our parents.
Hang on. Area code 315. Go ahead.
Yeah, it actually makes sense to me because I've been pondering the same thing as far as with my own father's concerned. You know, why there's certain things I can do or certain things that, you know, that I just don't seem to be totally out of left field on.
Amen. Joe Allen, come in.
I got the same question from my preacher this past Sunday, and I told him, while you were busy buying books to go to school, I was buying tools.
Yep, and he became good with books, and you became good with tools. Somebody else tried to jump in. I got walked on there. Come on in.
Hey, that was me, Coach. I mean, we pass our faith on too, because if you remember what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:15, he said, "I'm reminded of the sincere faith which lived first in your grandmother Lois and now your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now also lives in you." So, this is spiritual stuff here.
This lives in us. These bends that we have, they live in us. Why are you drawn to certain things? Because that's where your gifting is. That's in your DNA. It's been passed down.
But yeah, Coach.
Go ahead, Dale.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We have to take it even that much step further. As Paul was talking even about Timothy, he says, you have many teachers. Mm-hmm. We have no problem with gathering teachers. He says, but I've become a spiritual father to you. Brother, that create such an intimate relationship between man and man or whatever that goes deep, and it goes to roots of either issues or into deeper thinking and walking with the Lord.
Dale, I just can't tell you the number of guys I know in this queue, men in particular, but maybe women too, who have a father hole in them. Their dad yep. blasted a hole in them by the way they was raised, blasted a hole in them by the way they were criticized, blasted a hole in them by the way that they were ignored, and have struggled their whole life to figure out yep. how to fill that father hole that's inside yep. of them. Because why? Because we did not and do not understand spiritual lineage and the things that our children might be dealing with.
Our children, my wife points this out to me. She goes, your boys, they look for your affirmation because the affirmation that we get from the earthly father, we identify that with the heavenly father. And that's why so many men struggle with their relationship with the heavenly father because they lack earthly father. And that's why Paul says, I have become a spiritual father to you.
Not a spiritual mother, right? You, Dale, you're not a spiritual mother. And guys, if you, I don't know how we got here, but I'm going to stay here. I wonder how many, when your kids were little, how many of you watching me right now, when your kids were little, when they went to bed at night, did you go up and pray with them? Do you say their nightly prayers or did you send mom up to do it? And what kind of message does that send to the children? Is the mother the spiritual head of the home or is the father the spiritual head of the home? And what is the message that is sent to your children? Go ahead, John, Gary.
This is Gary.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, and here's another challenge, which has been an interesting dilemma for me personally, as I've always have had a great relationship with my father, but my dad does not know the Lord, and that's, yeah.
Well, you can be a generational change agent then, can't you, Gary?
Huh? Yep.
Right? Because the curses can be stopped, right? Right. We have to recognize them. That's what I think part of it is, working out your own salvation with fear and trembling, yada, 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 yada. I don't know how I got on this. I'll stay on it. Go ahead, Dale.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I know Gary, I've talked with Gary. But Gary, there is an understanding here. Your dad lives with you. You take care of him because your dad has taken care of you. And it's not about that your earthly dad, because Paul writes in Hebrews, as the identity of your earthly fathers correct you, your heavenly father corrects you, that it created a relationship that you have with the heavenly father that's healthy.
Amen. 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 So let me backtrack a little bit. Randy Lunsford, God bless you. You don't have any idea your lineage. You don't. You may go back to your great-grandfather. You may know that, but you don't know. You don't know, man. And none of us know. What the Bible says, what to the third and to the fourth generation? I go back, me, my dad, I see my son. Well, now I can see my grandsons, right? And isn't it awful to think that my dad is showing up in my grandson, my dad and my grandson, Michelle's dad and our grandchildren? Are you kidding me? And the significance of us to do what we can to, dare I say it, pass the right traits to our children. Some of them are learned. And for the most part, you know, the greatest mistake I made when I was a parenthood, Michelle and I talk about it all the time. We took our children to church to let the pastor raise them. Somebody can say amen. Or the youth leader. The pastor or the youth leader raised our children, and then we wake up now and wonder why they're not following the Lord. Said, well, gee, I was a strong Christian. Why didn't my kids pick up on it? Well, they were youth camp. That's why.
Amen, coach.
Thank you, man. Thank you, man. I want to show you something else here today. I have a whole bunch of stuff on what the National Apostolic Reformation is. I was going to get to that, but I only got about 15 minutes left. I want to show you something I ran into today. Hey, Mike, just pull up right there in front of us, Mike, on that screen that you have in front of us right now. I hope you all can see this. All right? Mike, I want you to type in antifa.com. Folks, these are no tricks. These are no tricks. Antifa.com. Type it in. Go to that website. See what we come with. Can't you just type in antifa.com? There you go. Try that. You guys can all be doing it at home as you're playing along here at home.
Hey, Coach, can I make a quick comment?
Please do. Please do.
I preached in front of the Methodist Church yesterday, Sunday, and an independent denomination. Definitively, they're stuck in infant stasis, and they're easily deceived.
Yeah, that's right. Well, they don't have any desire to move beyond. You going to be able to do that, Mike? I don't know why that's so hard to get that thing to pop up. If you do it right where you guys are, if you type in Antifa.com on mine, so type it in, John Diamond. Type it in. Tell me what comes up.
Working on it. JoeBiden.com.
Antifa.com. What comes up?
JoeBiden.com.
JoeBiden.com. You type in Antifa.com, and it takes you to Joe Biden's website. How many of you are seeing that on your own computer? Because for some reason, it won't come up here on this one. I typed it in mine. JoeBiden.com comes up.
Joe Biden.
Huh? No wonder he won't speak out against it, huh? Antifa.com. Boy, Mike, I don't know why we're having so much trouble here. Listen, those of you out there think I'm lying, just do it. On your own computer, Antifa.com. Mike's still trying. Okay, I wanted to show you that. I wanted to show you that.
Yeah, Coach, it doesn't even give you links. It just comes up, a picture of Joe Biden and Kamala.
Kamala Harris. Antifa.com comes up, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Do it. You won't believe it. You won't believe it. Okay.
Democrat run.
It tells us something, right? It tells us something. Again, the kings of this earth are conspiring against the Lord and his anointed. Okay,
yeah,
Coach. Now.
Yeah, yes. It redirects. They redirect Antifa.com to JoeBiden.com is what they do.
That's what they do. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Can Jared find out, or Mike, somebody that's really computer literate, find out who actually owns that before we get too far down that rabbit trail in case it's one of us manipulating it?
How would we manipulate that, Jack?
Whoever owns Antifa.com, your people, these smart kids, as soon as there's some movement or something going on, they purchase that web domain, and then they can do anything they want with it. It may or may not be owned by Antifa or Biden or anybody else. It may be another disinfo group.
Maybe.
I agree. Here's the Antifa has been organized and well-funded for years now. This is so there's no doubt that this will. I know exactly what you're saying. But when I look at Antifa, it's not a new movement. Antifa has been around for a while. And that website, now whether they let it lapse to where somebody else purchased it,
nah, I don't know. No.
They're financially well organized.
No, that isn't what happened. That isn't what happened. Okay, you know,
the DNC.
I don't know who owns that website. I get what Jack's saying, but it's
the information is not clear. First, we found China. Who knows?
So, folks, if Coach Dave Live all of a sudden popped up JoeBiden.com, we would fix that, wouldn't we, Mike? we'd say, "Whoops, somebody hacked us." We would fix it. It's been like this. Been like this for weeks. Now, here, let me kind of finish up with this today. Mike, go to the last thing on the last thing on plandemic. Folks, we now know without a shadow of a doubt that next to the last, third thing, Lou Rockwell says plandemic. Folks, only 6% of the deaths from COVID, according to the Centers for Disease Control, only 9,683 people in the United States have died from coronavirus. There it is again. Only 9,683 people have died from the coronavirus. Even though they still continue to tell us what it was, 180,000, I think I heard that number yesterday, all that kind of stuff. If you were to go to this article that we have published here, right here, Wake Up America, you've been conned. Only an estimated not less than 10,000 COVID deaths so far in 2020, not 180,000. Now, friends, can somebody tell me why we're still shut down? Now that this information has come out and been made public, Mike, if you click on that, it's about halfway down the screen page, the Center for Health Statistics, August 26, 2020. They show an update that it's only 6% have actually died from the pain. On an average, about 8,000 people die per day from flu and other stuff. So this is the Center for Disease Control giving us the truth of how many COVID-19 deaths there have been.
There's only one problem here, Coach. If they weren't giving us the truth earlier, why on earth do we think they're giving us the truth now?
Oh, Larry, you got a good point. That's a good point. But we know this, Larry. They're telling us it's not 180,000.
Well, Coach, if I may expound on this, because my wife and I was talking about this. She goes, I know Coach is going to talk about this. You know, she works ICU COVID. So what's happened is that people were diagnosed with COVID as a underlying issue or part of a compiling issue. And so when they died, they labeled it a COVID death. No, it was just a death with COVID is what it was.
Right. I get it. And so the people come in with these underlying conditions that probably were magnified or accelerated by the COVID. But folks, there haven't been 10,000.
Exacerbated.
Thanks, Larry. Folks, there haven't yet been 10,000 people in America who've died from COVID. We haven't reached 10,000 yet. Come on in, Randy.
And coach, of that number, of the 10,000, 90% of them are elderly that are directly COVID, elderly with compromised systems and nursing homes.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, Randy. Go ahead, Randy.
I believe what CDC is trying to do, they know this is all going to come out eventually. They're wanting to be the first one. They want their credibility back. They're trying to be, hey, we showed you the truth. And I think that's all this is. All of them are going to finally admit to it, Coach. It has been a fake agenda.
So
what happened over in England is a good thing to follow for what may or might need to happen here. Is in fairly early on, they recognized and realized that a lot of doctors, hospitals, et cetera, were recording deaths as COVID deaths that may or may not have been COVID deaths. And they also realized there might have been some COVID deaths of people that stayed at home and ended up getting sick and dying and never went to the hospital to get diagnosed. So the numbers could go either way.
Right.
So what they ended up doing was they went back on a five-year average, went back for 5 years and took an average number of people that died during each week as the year progressed. And then they looked at 2020 numbers to see if there was excess number of people dying this year over the five-year previous average for that week of the year. And they adjusted their numbers using that system, which made them more accurate.
So my question,
as far as I know, hadn't even begun to even contemplate that system.
So my question is, when do we open America up? That's my question. Okay.
2 months ago, Coach, they were padding the numbers in hospitals because they were getting a ton of money. My wife's behind me going, yep, they were getting a ton of money.
So, Dale, so we know all those reasons. Right now, September 1st, why aren't we open? Why isn't the NBA playing? Why isn't Major League playing? Why are we not open? Why are schools not open? Why? Go ahead, Jeff. Now I'll see twice. Try to get in here. Come on in.
Well, I was going to comment a question, but you said why. What's happening is, in my opinion, change the culture and to bring in the international world order.
So we're seeing Psalm 2 again, right? The kings of this world conspiring against the Lord and his anointed. This is a lie, has been a lie, has been a plandemic. And here we sit September 1st, and they still will not acknowledge it. Yesterday, I had just listened to, I can't remember, I was listening to a radio program, doesn't matter which one it was. And they were talking about the CDC and the statistics and the lies, and it's a fake and it's a plandemic, and they pulled one over on us. And they went to the top of the hour news, and it was Fox News. And what do you think Fox News talked about? How many more people died? And it's now 180,000 people have died from COVID. So Fox News still isn't telling us the truth. Now, what do we do? What do we do? How long do we continue to sit in isolation, quarantine, wearing masks, not being able to go into buildings when we know from their statistics it's been a fraud? Now, for those of you still a little bit uncomfortable, just read the article. Mike, maybe you can put it down there in the chat. Read the article at lewrockwell.com. It says, America, you've been conned. We've been conned.
They've been building the wall of fear now for 4 months, Coach. It's big. Most people are sheeple. They don't follow the news. They're just buying this, and so they're just scared, and they've built a wall of fear.
Amen.
Cui bono, Coach. It's all cui bono. Who benefits?
That's right,
Coach. Well, let's look at our Father God. What is He letting this? Why is He letting this run? Why is this happening? Coach, when this is over, we got out. We see the truth. We've got out of the box. But look at all the people we know, we love, and we care about. I went through the airports the last few days, and I'm 1 out of 100 without a mask. Why are they still wearing them? Because they don't know the truth. Coach, God is letting everyone go to the lowest, to reveal to them how dumbed down they are. When this is over, they're going to say, the news has lied to me. I don't believe. God is trying to bring the gospel to the whole world right now, if they will just hear.
Randy, I think he's trying to reveal to us how easily we are deceived.
That's the
point. I got a flash for you. You're going to be 1 in 10,000 that doesn't have a chip, because that's where the whole thing is headed.
That's right. Maybe not this one, Jack. Maybe not now, but the next thing, they've certainly got us programmed. And you know what? The majority of Americans will never get this information. They'll never know we've been scammed. All of a sudden, things are just going to be eased up. We're going to go back to school, and we're going to forget about it. And then it'll come down to the road with another. I got 2 minutes. I got to show you. Yeah, real quick, Larry.
Okay, Larry's real quick. Talking.
Hang on. Mike, go to Mounds, the next last article. Go there real quick. Go ahead, Larry.
You know, we don't know specifically that this is the virus. This is the point in history that they're going to put that chip or whatever marking device it is into our bodies so that we can't, you know, we don't know that mark of the beast thing is this particular situation or not. But are you willing to take the chance that it is, or do you want to help stop it before it happens?
That's right.
You can help. You can help. You've got to sign up. Come help us. We've got a group of people around the country working on this. Come help us. Don't sit on the sidelines and watch. Sign up and help us.
Last thing. Thanks, Larry. Last thing. I just got, look at this right here, folks. I was going to spend more time on it. Maybe I'll get into it. Those of you familiar with me, sky high, yada, 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 yada. This video, Gary Pierce sent this to me. This video was posted yesterday.
Folks, I saw it.
This is the video that is showing. Remember I was talking about that pyramid, that burial cairn? Remember I was talking about all this? This video positively identifies exactly where that thing is, and it's just across the street. Gary and I are going to put on our walking boots, and we're going to go explore this thing. Mike, if you can scroll down a little bit, Mike, so they can – I don't know how they can see that this thing – you guys been to my house, right? Right there's Legend Valley, 7037. There's 70. There's the interstate where you get off. Right across the street from where you get off is exactly where that burial monument was. The largest stone pyramid mound north of Mexico sat right there, and there are still stones to be explored. We'll get on my shoes and my metal detector, and I'm going to go for a trip, Stephanie. And we're going to figure out exactly what went on. This is, man, is this, why would the Lord put me down, as L.A. Marzulli would say, right in the center of Nephilim Central, man. Unbelievable. Hey, God bless you, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.